Chapter 8. Satan. I saw the hell brand on them, and I knew they were sent to betray me to sin. Then he fell to gabbling strange and dreadful things which were not clearly understandable, and which the doctor admonished them to keep to themselves. Richards was right. The checks were never seen again. A nurse must have talked in her sleep, for within 2 days the forbidden gabblings were the property of the town, and they were of a surprising sort. They seemed to indicate that Richards had been a claimant for the sack himself, and that Burgess had concealed that fact, and then maliciously betrayed it. Burgess was taxed with this and stoutly denied it. And he said it was not fair to attach weight to the chatter of a sick old man who was out of his mind. Still, suspicion was in the air, and there was much talk. After a day or two it was reported that Mrs. Richards' delirious deliveries were getting to be duplicates of her husband's. Suspicion flamed up into conviction now, and the town's pride in the purity of its one undiscredited important citizen began to dim down and flicker toward extinction. 6 days passed, then came more news. The old couple were dying. Richards' mind cleared in his latest hour, and he sent for Burgess. Burgess said, "Let the room be cleared. I think he wishes to say something in privacy." "No," said Richards. "I want witnesses. I want you all to hear my confession, so that I may die a man, and not a dog. I was clean artificially like the rest, and like the rest I fell when temptation came. I signed a lie, and claimed the miserable sack. Mr. Burgess remembered that I had done him a service, and in gratitude and ignorance, he suppressed my claim and saved me. You know the thing that was charged against Burgess years ago. My testimony, and mine alone, could have cleared him, and I was a coward, and left him to suffer disgrace. No, no, Mr. Richards, you, my servant, betrayed my secret to him. No one has betrayed anything to me, dash, and then he did a natural and justifiable thing. He repented of the saving kindness which he had done me, and he exposed me as I deserved. Never. I make oath, out of my heart I forgive him." Burgess's impassioned protestations fell upon deaf ears. The dying man passed away without knowing that once more he had done poor Burgess a wrong. The old wife died that night. The last of the sacred 19 had fallen a prey to the fiendish sack. The town was stripped of the last rag of its ancient glory. Its mourning was not showy, but it was deep. By act of the legislature, upon prayer and petition, Hadleyburg was allowed to change its name to "Never mind what, I will not give it away," and leave one word out of the motto that for many generations had graced the town's official seal. "It is an honest town once more, and the man will have to rise early that catches it napping again." End of the Project Gutenberg text. The man that corrupted Hadleyburg. Lib by Gutenberg edition.